Good evening to all of you, and welcome to our Wednesday study. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening, Lord, just for this time that we could just take a break in the week, Lord, and just open up your word and see what you would have to say to us, Lord. We are so thankful, Lord, that you provided your word to us, Lord, that provides us with instruction and correction and reproof and all the things that we need to walk and to lead the life that you desire for us. We pray that by your word, Lord, that you would accomplish your purpose, the purpose for which you wrote these words, Lord, that it would be accomplished in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that you would give us understanding of your word, Lord, and that we would be able to apply the things that we read to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening to you, and welcome to our Wednesday study. We're making our way through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we are in the book of Genesis, and we have covered the first four chapters. We've covered the creation. We've seen the goodness of the Lord in creating everything that in the universe, everything that we can see, creating man and basically creating the perfect environment, the perfect situation, the thing that the Lord really wanted, which is to have fellowship with man. And so it was going along great until our enemy came and deceived Adam and Eve, and they ate of the fruit that the Lord told them not to eat of. And then after that, there was just this, you know, they basically fell off a cliff, so to speak. And last week, we saw, or we read about the story of Cain and Abel and the way of Cain. We learned about the way of Cain, and we learned that there were basically two major classes of people, you know, those who seek to do things God's way, and they understand that God has a way for us to be right with him. He has a way for us to be sort of suitable to approach him, and that Abel followed that way. He had faith in God, and he followed the way that the Lord wanted him to go. But Cain did not. Cain was rebellious. Cain wanted to do it his way. Cain was self-righteous, and he sought to make himself right. He sought to make himself acceptable to God based upon his own works and based upon his own righteousness. And we find that we have that same thing today. And the sad part is that there will be a lot of people, you know, a lot of good people that will miss out on salvation because they don't want to do it God's way. They don't think that they need to do it God's way because they think that they are good enough themselves. They think that, well, you know, I can keep the Ten Commandments. I can live a life that would be acceptable and pleasing to God on my own, and so they're wrong, right? Because there is only one way to be right with God. There's only one way to approach God, and that is through His Son Jesus Christ. And so we read about that, and then we read about Cain, and we began to see his descendants, and we actually saw like seven generations of Cain's descendants, and we saw that when, you know, Cain was cursed because of what he did in killing his brother Abel, that his descendants, they began to live in cities, and they began to create all kinds of technology and all kinds of things to serve as a pleasure and amusement, musical instruments and things of this nature. And they were just going about living their lives and basically making themselves happy based upon, their own works, and they just had forgotten about God. But then as we got to the end of the chapter, there was a significant change of tone there. So we were kind of going down this dark road, basically, with the line of Cain. But then in verse 25, we have a change of tone. There is some hope that is shining through here. And so as we look at Genesis chapter 4, and let's open up to verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4, and it reads, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth. For God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he was named Enosh. The men began to call on the name of the Lord." And so we see that although we had all this failure and everything coming out of Cain and his descendants, all the way to the seventh generation, we see in verse 25 that when Adam knew his wife Eve again, she bore a son, named him Seth. And that word Seth, that name, is appointed. And what that means is, again, there is that hope in the promise that God made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, about the seed of the woman. And so both Adam and Eve, they saw in Seth that this is now the seed. This is where the Messiah will come, because they know it's not Abel, because Abel was killed. They know it's not Cain, because Cain murdered Abel and he was cursed and his whole line was cursed. But now they look and they rejoice because the Lord gave them Abel, which means appointed. And so that was their thinking. And so they looked at Abel that way. And so as he's growing up, everyone would be saying, "You're the one, you're the appointed one." And truly, Seth would be the line that what we're going to look at in the next chapter. The next chapter is just a chapter of a genealogy. And in many ways, you look at that and you just think, we can just read through that and just skip through it. But interestingly enough, there's a lot in that genealogy. But essentially, what we're going to see here is we're going to go from Adam through Seth all the way to Noah. Noah will make it through the flood. And then that line will go from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham to David, and from David to Jesus. And so this is the whole line. And it brings up for me a point that I intended to bring up earlier, but I think now is a really good time to bring it up, and that is that when I think about the Word of God, like sort of what is it, like, what do we have and what is it really seeking to do? I really think about it as it telling a story. It's telling a story about somebody, right? And it, just like any story, there's a beginning, right? And there's a end point, right? And so if you were to meet somebody and you wanted and you asked that person, "Well, tell me about yourself," they would have to think about where they're going to start in telling that story. Are they going to start at the beginning of their life, or they're going to start with like their parents, or how far back are they going to go? Well, this particular story is the story about Jesus Christ. The whole book is testifying of him. It's telling about him. And that's why when we read this book, We should be reading it, and every time we read it, we should be feeling, knowing more about Christ. And so it's not like a book that is just, you know, you're reading it in order to gain intelligence, you know, gain knowledge just for knowledge's sake or history or whatever. This book is to acquaint us with our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, but every page, every chapter, every verse, it's speaking of him. It's telling his story, okay? And so the question, you know, also becomes with him, how far back do you go? You know, we can't go back to the beginning of Christ because he's eternal. There is no beginning. And so we know that in Genesis, it goes back to the beginning of time. The beginning, as far back as you can go for man, is where Genesis goes. So it starts in the creation of the universe and everything. But it's every single twist and turn, every single story, every single person, every single thing that's coming up, it's all for a purpose of telling this story. And later on, the things that are spoken of, they will be referred to later on, you know, because it's all part of the story. So it's really fascinating in that regard. But this is where we're going to be going in this next chapter. We're going to talk about the genealogy of Seth and Adam, basically the genealogy of Adam moving out towards Noah. That particular piece of the genealogy that will lead to the Messiah. And so Abel, again, his name means appointed. And it says here that as for Seth, he also had a son, and he named his son Enosh, okay? And Enosh, that name means mortal, okay? And so there, when Seth had his son, there is a sense with him, you know, all these children, when they're named, there's meaning to it, okay? So when we name our children, we just name them whatever, you know, sounds cool, like, or could be a family name or whatever, but they're naming their children purposefully. And in this particular case, they're being led by God. They're being led by the Holy Spirit in even naming their children. And we're going to see that as we move along here. And so he named his son Enosh, and it means mortal or frail, and it was a recognition of the mortality and frailness of man. And so here again, we see these words that we read last week, and that is that men began to call on the Lord. And undoubtedly, Adam and Eve explained to Seth in the same way that they explained to Cain and Abel about the promise that God had made of the seed, of the Messiah that would come to redeem man from the terrible mistake that Adam and Eve made in the garden. But here we are in this situation where this is a dark, dark time, but yet still there's this remnant of the Lord there's this remnant that's calling upon the Lord. And that's another thing that we see all through the Word of God, is that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how depraved it is, there's still a remnant that's calling upon the Lord. He still has his people, and which is the same for today. You know, in this world, it's getting darker and darker and darker. And, you know, I've said frequently recently that, you know, when I was younger, I heard, you know, older people talking about, man, it's just getting so much worse and everything. And I didn't know what they were talking about. But I think it's like worse than anything. I just can't. I mean, it's worse than anything that my parents or you know, had to deal with. We're living in a very dark world, and we're living in a world that is as terrible as it was during the time of Noah, and And the Lord said that that would be the case. We are clearly living in that world. And so just like in this time when things were really dark, you know, we serve as that remnant as well, still calling upon the Lord. So chapter 5, verse 1, it reads, "This is the book of genealogy, of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created him, them, male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created." This is an interesting phrase here, the book of the genealogy of Adam. The only other place where it talks about like the book of generations or genealogy would be Matthew chapter 1, where it talks about the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. And here, as I said, this genealogy that we're going to read is going to take us from Adam all the way to Noah. So let's look first in verse 3. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth." And so, again, it's repeating the fact that Seth was born to them. But one thing that is interesting here is that while we know that Adam was made in the image of God, here we see that Seth was created in Adam's likeness and after his image. And so right off, you can just see basically that's just demonstrating that man is fallen, right? So instead of man being in the image of God, now they're in the image of man, which is in a fallen state. Verse 4, "After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters, so that all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." So there are a number of things here. Number one is that we see that Adam lived a total of 930 years. And so a lot to be said about that. The first is that, so if you go, we're going to go through this genealogy and we're going to see how old all these different people are. It's going to be seven generations. With Adam living 930 years, he lived through the life of Seth, Enosh, Canaan, and these are the people that we're going to be talking about here. Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and he lived 25 years into Noah's life. So Adam was around for a long time. He saw a lot of generations, and he saw people multiplying on the earth. But the other thing that is sad, and we're going to see it repeatedly through this genealogy, is what we see in verse 5. It says, "And he died." And he died. And so what we find here is, in case there's anybody who's wondering, we find out who the liar is, right? So when God said, "The day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die," and Satan said, "No, you won't die." So we see here that God was the one that was telling the truth, and Satan was the one that was lying, because here we see that for Adam, he died, and we're going to see that phrase repeated over and over in this genealogy. So we have Adam, and we know that Adam's name means man, right? And now we have Seth, his name means appointed. And we see that Seth was made in the likeness of Adam, and that is begins the fallen line. And then now we go on to Seth. Verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And Enosh means mortal, okay? And we already talked about that, talking about the mortality and the frailness of life. And then it goes on in verse 7 to say, and he begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters, so that all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So he lived 912 years, and he died. Again, we see those words. Another thing I want to point out is that for both Adam and for Seth here, that it does point out that they had other sons and daughters. So this genealogy is not included, you know, it's not covering every single human being that was born during this time period. There were others that were born, but these individuals are significant in the genealogy. And so, again, with kind of what I was talking about earlier about sort of telling this story about Jesus Christ, the individuals that are mentioned here are important. They're essential to telling that story, just like everything else that we find in the Word of God. Every single story, every word, every paragraph, every book. The other thing is just the whole question of like how long they're living. You know, they're living like, you know, with a nine in front, you know, three digits, right? With a nine in front of it, 930 years, 912 years. We know that there at this point in time, there was a canopy that we talked about it earlier in Genesis during creation, that there was a canopy that would protect all of these different kinds of like ultraviolet lights and different things like that would create issues with, you know, your cells and everything else. In the flood, during the flood, that canopy was dissolved basically, and so that's why people began to live shorter and shorter lives. So that's why these individuals are living for so long. Continuing on in verse 9, it says that Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. And so Canaan, that name means sorrow. And he lived a total of 910 years, and he died. And then in verse 13 or 12, it says, Canaan lived 70 years, and he begot Mahalalel. And after he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters, so that all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means to bless God. And he lived a total of 895 years, and he died. Then in verse 15, it says, Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared means to descend or to come down. And then verse 18 says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And so Enoch represents a break in that phrase, right? That, and we're going to see this as we look beyond, but that phrase, "and he died," is going to be the thing. But the name Enoch means teaching. Teaching is what Enoch means. And verse 21 is, you know, this Enoch is a very significant man in the Bible, and he comes up in Hebrews and elsewhere. But it says here that Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So, as I said, Enoch represented a break here in this progression of he died, he died, he died. It says that Enoch lived for 65 years before he begot his son Methuselah. And after he begot his son Methuselah, it says that he began to walk with God. He began to walk after God. There was something in his life that changed where his focus now was on the Lord and seeking after him and seeking how he could please the Lord. And it says that he walked with the Lord for 300 years. What a life that was for him. 300 years he was walking with God. But it says here that he was not, he didn't die. It says that God took him, which means that he snatched him away. And so Enoch really is a type of the rapture of the church. He really represents the rapture of the church. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But he was a preacher. He was a prophet. In Jude, it says that Enoch said that he saw the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints. And that's something that we saw in Revelation. And so then it goes on, you know, as we read about Enoch, about how he had the son Methuselah. And Methuselah, that name means when he dies, it shall come, or his death shall bring. And Enoch undoubtedly named Methuselah this way because God had communicated to him that when Methuselah died, that the judgment would come. In other words, the flood would come when Methuselah died. And so we see here, if we look in verse 25 and through 27, it says, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And so we see here that Methuselah was the oldest person that ever lived, as recorded in the Word of God. He lived a total of 969 years. And the fact that the Lord said that when he died, that's when the judgment would come, Methuselah really does then represent a picture of God's grace, of his mercy. And it's really a picture of sort of what Peter says, right, when he says that God is not willing that any should perish, right, but that all would come to repentance. And so it's really showing God's long-suffering. You know, God is looking at the people and their rebellion and their sin and how they were living their lives in this time. And he is going to judge the earth. And we're going to see that in the next chapter. But this is really a picture of God's grace because, you know, because he lived for so long before he died. One of the things that we can say, there's a few things that we can say about Enoch and Methuselah, and that is that during this time when Enoch lived, we've already talked about how dark the time was, how sinful people were, how depraved they were, how they were basically, you know, seeking after their own pleasure and everything else, not seeking after God. Enoch basically takes away our excuses, the excuses that we have living in this world that we talked about, how wicked, how depraved this world is. Enoch was walking with God even in that wicked world that he was living in, that dark world. You know, we're going to see in chapter 6 that the people were, well, actually we can look at it. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What an amazing sentence that is. I mean, just when you read it, because it says here that every intent, so it's like, you could say, you know, some of the intents of man, right? You could say that their intent, or some of them, they're saying that every intent that man had, and this isn't an exaggeration, this is God, you know, all-knowing and all-seeing, looking into the hearts and the minds of men and saying every intent that they had, every intent of their thoughts, you know, not to mention what they're saying or doing, but even what was in their thought, it was only evil continuously. That's like, I don't know how you could say it any stronger. But this is the world that Enoch was living in, and despite that, he was walking with the Lord. And make it even more amazing, he was doing so without the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we as Christians, we're filled and led and guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk with the Lord. And so, you know, Enoch really takes away, you know, all of those excuses. But then, you know, as we said, we have this son of Enoch, Methuselah, and we know that when he dies, the judgment's going to come. So what is that like, right? When you have a son like that, or when he's there, you know, around, as we're going to get to Noah or whatever, and they're, you know, he's living during a period of time when Noah's building the ark, and you know, if he's helping out, you know, what are you going to, you know, be careful, right? Because you don't want anything to happen to him, right? Because we know that when he dies, that the judgment's going to come. And then the other thing is that, you know, you could be looking at this man getting older and older and older and just thinking like, wow, you know, wherever they were in terms of building that ark, you know, they're looking at him thinking, we better hurry up, right? Because, you know, he's not, he may not last much longer. So then, after Methuselah comes a Lamech. So it says, where did I leave off? 28. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. And after he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Lamech, his name means afflicted. He lived 777 years when he was born. Adam was still alive. And it says that he had Noah, and that Noah lived 500 years before he began to have children. So he was a kind of a late bloomer. And we see in here that Noah's name meant comfort, consolation, rest, essentially. And so you're probably wondering why I've been telling what these names mean. And there is a reason for it, and that is because it was divinely inspired, each one of these names. And when you put all these names together, and let's go over them again, right? Adam, man; Seth, appointed; Enosh, mortal; Canaan, sorrow; Mahalalel, blessed God; Jared, descend or come down; Enoch, teaching; Methuselah, his death shall bring; Lamech, afflicted; and Noah, comfort. Then we get this statement: man appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God will come down, teaching that his death shall bring comfort. So that was the that's the prophecy in the names, and that's why these individuals were named this. That's why they were selected for that genealogy. So it is pretty amazing. The last thing that I'll close with, and as I said, we're going to have a short study this evening because this chapter is short, and because the beginning of next week, there's a lot of complexity there, and I don't want to take that on right now. But one of the things that is significant about the last three, or let's say there are sort of these three key figures in this genealogy, okay? The one is Enoch. The one would be those who were judged, and the last would be Noah, okay? So basically, in this whole situation here, you have three groups of people. You have the people that are judged. In other words, the flood judges them. The flood kills them, right? The second would be those who were taken through the flood, right? So that would be Noah and his family, okay? And the third would be those who were taken out before judgment, right? And that is Enoch. And so those are the three different groups, and those same groups are represented in the end times, right? Because all of this, like we said, it's laying a foundation for us, and it is a picture of the things to come. And so in the end times, we talk about a number of things, right? We talk about the judgment that will come, the great tribulation, where many are going to be judged, many are going to be killed in that. The other would be the group of people that make it through the great tribulation, right? And then lastly, there are those who are taken out of before the tribulation occurs. So those people are, the ones judged will be the unbelievers, just like the ones who were judged in the time of the flood. The ones that are taken through the judgment, we already said that would be Noah, but then in the end times, it would be the true Jews who make it through the tribulation. You know, as we read through Revelation, it talked about those who came to Christ during the great tribulation period, who endured to the end. Those ones that were Jews those even Gentiles, right? That became believers in Christ, and that's why, you know, that same prophecy that Enoch had, that he saw, you know, there would be multitudes, right, that would make it through the tribulation. And then the last group would be the church being raptured before the great tribulation and not actually going through that judgment. Now, the one thing you might think, though, is that, well, you know, Enoch is only one person, but in the same way, the church is one, right? We're one body, the body of Christ. And so being taken out before the tribulation, Enoch would represent, would be like a type of the church. So that's genealogy going from Adam to Noah. And next week, we are going to begin to look at the flood and look at all the things that happened there in the flood and why the Lord decided to bring that judgment on the earth and just how all of that occurred. Next time, we will likely cover actually multiple chapters possibly, okay? So let's stop right there, and let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, just for just how you just you laid it all out, Lord, and just how you just even through the way that you instructed these folks to name their children, Lord, you were providing prophecy. You were providing hope to those in those times, Lord, who could have been so discouraged. And we think about Adam and Eve and how they were in such a perfect place and how depressed they might have been, Lord, just for feeling like they blew it so bad and how they missed out on what you had for them and how they were just holding on to the promises that you made even as you were pronouncing curses. They had that hope and that promise, knowing for sure because you said that they would surely die, and now they're seeing that. And so in the same way that they see that you were telling the truth about that, they were holding on to that promise that you would bring a Messiah, and you were faithful to it, and you were providing hope even in just the names that you gave to those in the line of Seth. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as we continue to read your word, Lord, that it would continue to speak to us, Lord, that it would be something that would guide and direct our lives, Lord, that in the same way that Enoch, when he saw this judgment, it had an effect on his life. It had an effect on how he lived his life. We pray, Lord, that we would be the same way, Lord, that because we know that this earth, this world is going to be judged, Lord, that the elements are going to melt even, Lord, with fervent heat, Lord, that is something that is telling us that we should change the way that we live, Lord, that we would live our lives in a way that would represent you well, Lord, to bring glory to you, Lord, and that we would do those things that would draw men to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just thank you again for your word, and we pray that it would accomplish its purpose in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.